Our reading for September 3rd starts in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So as we go back to verse 17 to work our way through this passage, I want to point out that when he makes this statement, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, that he's not singling out one specific people or group of people in the way that we would think of a nationality. In fact, if you go back to what the word there actually means, it would be all those who are not of God. It would be those that are heathens or unbelievers. So really, if you look at it that way, Gentiles there could have easily meant a Jew that was an unbeliever as well. It's not just nationality in consideration, but the state of their heart and the way that they live their life. And that fits very well with what he's saying here. So he's saying, I testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as an unbeliever does. That would be the way we would take it. And he says that the way that they walk is in a futility of mind. Your version might also say vanity. And so it would mean a way of thinking or a mindset that is empty, it is foolish, it has no purpose, it's completely futile. It does not accomplish anything worthwhile whatsoever. And then he begins to explain this. He says they are darkened in their understanding. They are continually following their own desires and following those sinful ways so that they are blinded to anything else or any other possibility. You are probably familiar with what happens when somebody is just set in their ways and they don't want to make a change. They won't consider any reason or argument to make that change because they're unwilling to consider that there might be another way or that they might have a need to change. Some people are so set in their ways, in their sins, that God is so foreign that they wouldn't even dare consider. And we see a lot of people like that today that won't listen to anything regarding God because they've already made up their mind that that would demand a change and they're simply unwilling. Because of this, they are alienated from the life of God because of that ignorance and because of the hardness of their heart. And the more one sins and does things that are immoral, especially if they know through one avenue or another that it is immoral, their heart slowly gets hardened. Their conscience is seared. It doesn't bother them to do those things anymore, whereas it might have bothered them when they started out. And that's one of the reasons why, when there's nothing to restrain sin at all, no societal norms, no upbringing whatsoever, then you can just go deeper and deeper and deeper into those sins without anything to keep you from it. It's really only that idea of answering to someone or something that gives a restraint. So he says they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. It's interesting that he puts it that way, greedy to practice these things. That shows how strong that desire is, that even if they have some level of it, there's a desire to have more of it. They're not satisfied with a little bit of sin. They want more of it. You know, greed is never satisfied. The appetite only grows. So he's speaking to those that have learned Christ, and he says, but that is not the way you learned Christ. And he can make that statement confidently. This is not the way of Christ at all. You would not have learned any of this in Christ. And then he adds this statement, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him. And I'm not sure if that would really be a statement that was needed, except that if somebody decided, well, I'm going to pick on that one, you know, that's not saying that it's not what I heard. Well, I wasn't taught anything in antithesis of this. And he's going to say, well, then maybe you weren't taught at all. Maybe you weren't taught properly. And then he says, the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. One of the difficulties is, well, what kind of life did they live before? Maybe they were Jews before that were believers, and they didn't live all that immoral of a life. And they say, well, I've got to put off this old self. Maybe that old self wasn't as bad as, you know, this Gentile, that maybe he was part of a idolatrous temple, and, you know, they had temple prostitutes, and they had all these other different things, and so they think, well, I'm not as bad a person as that. Well, understand, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not any one of us that can say that, well, there's nothing bad for me to put off. No, there is. It can be a way of thinking. It can be a way of speaking. It can be a way of acting. It can be the greed. It can be the desires. And whatever those could be, yeah, you've still got to put them off. Anything that was not of Christ has to be put off. And so those old things, they belong to that former manner of life, and it is corrupt through those deceitful desires, and we should be renewed in the spirit of our minds. That is, be renewed according to the truth that is in Christ Jesus. And put on that new self. So now we've put off the old, now we're going to put on the new. And the new is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That is what we're working toward. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we try to walk according to his way. And because of that cleansing and working to walk in the light, then yes, that is a life of righteousness. In verse 25, we have that word therefore again. So he draws some conclusions. So therefore, having put away falsehood. Remember, he talked about the truth in Christ. Now he's classifying everything that was not the way that they learned Christ as falsehood. So having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth, okay, according to the way of Christ with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. It seems like verse 26 and 27 could be out of left field, because we've already addressed the things that you're putting off. Now he's telling them, speak the truth. And then he talks about anger and then stealing and then corrupting talk. Well, what are we getting down to? Aren't these the falsehoods? Aren't these the ways we're putting off? Well, he's giving a good contrast, a contrast between the way of falsehood and the way of truth. Sometimes we need to be reminded that the way of truth needs to be cleaner and purer than we're actually living. Maybe they had a problem with people getting angry with each other, and in that anger they would sin. Maybe they had a problem with people stealing, or a problem with corrupting talk. Maybe that's why he's mentioning these specifically at this point. But I think really it's a contrast. It's a reminder that, hey, it's not just adultery, for example. It's not just, you know, being complete unbelievers that is opposed to God, but there are some sins that you might still be partaking in that need to be put off, and that is this anger and sin, and stealing and corrupting talk, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, along with all malice. Those are things that are part of that falsehood that need to be put off. So I really think it's just giving a contrast, and it's not really out of left field there for verse 26 and 27 to go back to talking about those falsehood ways or ways of the heathens. We've talked about the idea of being angry and not sinning before. The anger there would be one we'd hold on to. We'd hold a grudge. It keeps, you know, building up within us until we explode. That's the type of anger that leads to holding grudges, the type of anger that leads to, as he mentions, bitter, wrath, clamor, slander, malice. So we need to let those things go so that we don't sin. There's always going to be things that can anger us. God even gets angry, but the point is to be angry and then don't sin. That might mean you've got to immediately let it go. That might mean that it's not worth holding on to. Might mean that you have to exercise some forbearance with others, even when you might feel you've been wrong, but you've got to let that go anyway. Otherwise, it would lead you to sin. He says you don't want to give any opportunity to the devil. You don't want to give an opportunity for you to lose your soul. Be in Christ and follow that way of Christ. Likewise, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So they need to live a different life. Again, that contrast between the old and the new, the sinful and the righteous, the stealing versus the honest labor. And he says a benefit is this, that you may be able to share with others when they are in need. Verse 29, no corrupting talk should be coming out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up. Contrast between old and new, sin and righteousness. So make sure that it is righteous talk that fits the occasion and giving grace to those who hear. Your speech needs to be honorable. Let go of that bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the slander. Put all these things away from you along with all malice so that you can be kind-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ also forgave you. So this last section of Ephesians chapter 4 is several times over giving us that contrast between the former and the new life, the sin and the righteousness, the life that is in rebellion to God, and the life that embraces God. If you want to have that relationship with God, then it needs to be that new life and that walking according to the light that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening today. We'll pick up in chapter 5 tomorrow. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.